En Toyota nos preguntamos, ¿qué prefieres estas fiestas?
¿Árbol dorado?
¿Rojo y verde? ¿Cenamos pavo?
Tamales. ¿Regalos a medianoche?
Mejor a la mañana.
Ok. ¿Y para el auto nuevo? Pensaba en un Corolla negro y con asientos deportivos.
Todos prefieren un Toyota. Ven por tu favorito al Toyota Ton. Las ofertas terminan el 5 de diciembre. Toyota, vayamos juntos. Las ofertas están sujetas a cambios a lo largo de Toyota Ton que termina el 2 de enero. Las ofertas actuales terminan el 5 de diciembre. El inventario puede variar. Visita tu concesionario Toyota participante.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code GROOM at checkout. That's harrys.com, code GROOM. Enjoy.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
What's up, everybody? It's the Busted Open Podcast. Along with Justin Labar, I'm Jonathan Hood. Boy, we made our maiden voyage on Sundays here for Busted Open. We had the men's and women's War Games matches for the Survivor Series in Chicago. Justin, it was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. We had drama. We had storytelling. We had violence. That's everything you could want out of a War Games.
Also, the return of Randy Orton and CM Punk. How about Randy Orton? He looked great, didn't he?
He's aging like a fine wine, Jay Hood. I hope I get the same treatment.
And CM Punk as well. He made his return. We put the 7 in 24/7. We're on 7 days a week. Enjoy the Sunday edition of Busted Open. We are just so happy. Justin and I are so happy to be here again. You guys have wanted this 3 days a week. You've wanted this 5 days a week. You wanted this 6 days a week. And now, 7 days a week. And the reason why that we're here is because of you, the Busted Open Nation. Who are we? We're wrestling fans just like you. We're members of Busted Open Nation just like you. And so that's why Justin and I are going to be together every Sunday bringing you the latest and the best. Hey, this is not a replay. Hey, this is live every Sunday morning. So, Justin, I'm just excited, man. I'm just glad that we are here together doing this every single Sunday for this great channel, Busted Open Fight Nation.
Yeah, it's amazing how the show has grown, how this channel has grown. I've had the privilege of getting to be, make a little guest appearance on Busted Open every Friday morning, doing my spar with Labar segment. You know, so doing a half hour every Friday for the last 3 years has been a thrill and a privilege, and to interact with the nation that way. Now you and I getting to steer an entire day together is such a thrill. So I'm appreciative and looking forward to all the fun we're gonna have.
Yeah, you are always welcome to jump in with us. It is the hottest pro wrestling audio anywhere, Busted Open, right here on Sirius XM Fight Nation. We mentioned the phone number, 877-FIGHT-93. You're going to need that number today here on this Sunday morning because of what happened in my hometown, Chicago. Survivor Series taking place at the Allstate Arena. It is the favorite arena of Triple H. It is the favorite arena of Stone Cold Steve Austin. They love it because of the construction of the building, that wooden ceiling, and how the audience and the crowd just gets into it and makes such a noise in there. And it was loud, and you love the atmosphere because the fans were there. They're ready for something special, and they got it with War Games, didn't they?
They did. And I second that. I've been to that arena, and it's as advertised. You everything just feels bigger, feels louder. And obviously history's had, you know, a slew of great moments. Probably my favorite in terms of reaction is Jericho's WWE debut. But yeah, I mean, last night Survivor Series, added to the list of big Survivor Series in terms of, you know, debuts and talking points, added to the list, and just in wrestling history of you never say never.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, it is funny when we get these big events, When we get these pay-per-views or PLEs, there's always complaints of, I don't like the build, or I don't like how few matches there are on the card. And the one thing I always say, Justin, is that no matter what, once it's in the ring, it's going to deliver. We can bitch and complain about how there should have been a tag team match at Survivor Series, or it should have been other people that's involved. How come they were left out? But once you get in the ring, it's going to deliver more times than not. And it's the same thing that happened with Survivor Series. I mean, look, you had a women's War Games match, you had a men's War Games match, and you had three other matches. Okay, I think the three other matches, we could pretty much predict what was going to happen. But the point is, though, once it was in the ring, it wasn't like, oh, these matches stink. No. All the men and women that are involved in these shows that we watch, they all deliver. And that's exactly what happened last night.
They all did deliver. You're exactly right. And let me just say this as a blanket statement about Survivor Series, because I have been, anybody who's followed me on social media, at Justin LaBar, anybody who's followed me on any other podcasts I've done, Wrestling Inc., Chair Shot Reality back in the day, you've heard me say this for years, that Survivor Series, even though it is the second longest running event behind WrestleMania, even though it is one of the core four that the year is built around, for years, Survivor Series in the last decade, I thought, had become an outdated concept. But with the infusion of War Games, the infusion of consistent booking and storytelling by Triple H and crew, it has revitalized the November Classic, and last night was proof of that.
Well, and you had to do that, and the reason why is because how many Survivor Series do you want to see where you see three-minute matches? Pretty much, right? Quick pinfalls and out. That's how I grew up watching the Survivor Series. It's like you have all these stars and then everything was done by pinfall. But the advent of the War Games makes it a lot better than what it was. It's not just the quick pinfalls and eliminations and who are the survivors. That was a great concept in the 80s and the 90s. But the way it was put together, you had star power, and then on top of that, you had something different. You know what you got, Justin? You had a babyface advantage in the women's War Games, which you never had.
Never.
I mean, I remember the first one in 87. It was always Arn Anderson against Dusty, or Arn Anderson against Hawk, or something like that at the beginning. And then the heels just keep coming in. They have the advantage. It was different, but it didn't miss anything with the advantage, with the women having the babyface advantage there. It still was a very solid match.
No, it was. And you're right. Yeah, Survivor Series was built at a time where all you saw on TV was TV talent against local talent in a squash, right? Against the jobber. So yeah, that was the attraction of Survivor Series. We're going to put 10 TV talent names all in a ring together, and that's going to be a big deal. Now that's a main event of a Raw if they want to give everybody an easy night. So yeah, they had, it's an outdated concept, and you're right. The women's advantage, the face advantage in the women's match, I can't ever recall. You've probably seen more War Games matches than I have. I can never recall the faces ever having an advantage in a War Games match.
No, that wouldn't have worked. Back in the day, the NWA, that wouldn't have worked. You had to have the Horsemen have the advantage on Dusty's crew back then, because you wanted Dusty to be in peril. So that way, here comes Animal, here comes whomever that's going in. So, but even with that, and it surprised me that he did that, it still was great. And you know, There is something that's very similar with the men's and women's, is that there was problems on the babyface side on both. Now, you thought that maybe there's a little repetition there, but I think they were both unique, and here's why. So we know that Becky and Charlotte don't get along, but then there's Bianca Belair there, she's there, and so we were wondering how that dynamic would work. Then you got the hug from Becky and Charlotte, said, let's go, let's do this. Same thing with the men's War Games. On the babyface side and on the heel side, Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest with their issues, and then Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins don't get along. So it wasn't just like, here's, you know, four or five babyfaces that all get along and work good, and here's the heels, and we're going to get the babyface. No, they put drama within it. So as Michael Cole put, there were so many different storylines, layered storylines, within the War Games teams, which again makes it very unique and interesting.
And back to the women, on to that point, what a declaration it is of how far the women's creative has come, to where it used to be, okay, there's going to be a story in the women's division around whoever the champion is, whatever the title is, Divas title, women's championship, whatever era we're in, and that's it. Now you have these, you know, these levels of stories. Now you can watch a Raw or SmackDown and have several other women's matches that have nothing to do with the title, but there's a personal issue, there's some story there. And like you said, it allowed this all to play out inside of those cages on both sides. And I think that's a huge compliment to how far WWE women's booking has come to have that kind of creative depth and quality.
Justin, you've done some in-ring work in your career. You ever put a crash can on top of yourself and get on top of a steel cage and just dive on people? You've done that spot before, right, in your career?
I did that at the bar afterwards. I never did it in front of the paying audience. So. No.
Wait a minute. You don't do that for free. You got to get a payday for that, brother.
Well, I was a little, you know, a little in the sauce there. Actually, here's the thing. My two of my most hardcore moments I've ever had in the ring. One actually got to be with our fellow Nation host Tommy Dreamer. He hit me with a prosthetic leg from somebody who had a prosthetic leg in the front row. And then Sandman dumped beer down my crotch and proceeded to hit me with a cane. That's as hardcore as it got for me in terms of the weapons and the shenanigans like that.
And so you officially put in your papers to retire after that, right? You can't keep doing this.
No, I kept going.
Oh, but you just kept going anyway. I'll tell you, that spot at the Women's War Games, and again, there's got to be a lot of trust there. You know, like Kairi Sane with great moves. Sky with great moves. Like Asuka, when you are on the top of a cage and you got a garbage can on top of you, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna jump without blindly." I mean, that's just crazy. That's bananas.
And if you take, you know, and if you start to overshoot it or you undershoot it, you just hope that the seven below you all pivot fast enough to catch you. Let's also not ignore the creative way that she got the trash can up there doing the dumb waiter pulley system with a chain. I thought that, you know, part of me is like, you know, this is a lot of work for one spot. But at the end of it, when it was all said and done, I was like, all right, I'll give it its flowers.
It all paid off, too. It all paid off. I was thinking also with Shotzi Blackheart being part of this, I was like, Shotzi's part of this. And she's really, really insane. I was thinking, someone's got to take the pinfall. And I thought it would be her, and it was not. And this is what you like about matches like this. Shotzi really accounted herself well. Of course, she's nuts, and of course, the story is about how she got her hair cut and all that, and so she was really ready to take on that other team. I thought Shotzi accounted herself well in this match.
I think so. Yeah, I absolutely would agree with that. I got to give a shout-out to it was a Kairi Sane who was taking the giant trash can lid, the oversized trash can lid, and doing like the spinning back fist and made it just look brutal as all hell. I mean, she did it two or three times in the match. Every time she did it, I like my body moved in reaction to it.
I mean, people thought, okay, there was going to be a table that was going to be pulled out of there, and Kairi Sane said, "No, I got this trash can kid. This got this trash can lid, and I'm just going to beat the crap out of the opposition with it." And boy, it's just the sound, right? That's the whole thing with it, whether it hurts or not. And I know it has to because the way she swung it haphazardly, you know that it had to hurt. And so people thought, oh, just a trash can. No, this actually was a huge weapon in the match for her. I really like that.
And with the weapons, again, this match a little bit, you know, backwards, like we said, you know, the women getting the faces getting the advantage. And I thought it was interesting, too. You know, your Chicago crowd, they want tables, and they hold it for Asuka. They hold it for the heel, the final heel to enter. She gives them the pop that they want. I thought that was bizarre, but hey, it's Chicago, right?
Our city loves tables for whatever reason. I mean, it just loves tables. Like when it snows out and you want to hold a parking spot, you put a table out there. So we just love tables. any way, shape, or form, we just love tables, Justin. That's how that works. With Justin LeBar.
Here in Pittsburgh, it's a folding chair at the market parking spot.
Yeah, we got tables. We got, you know, you know what? We got all this other stuff. We put a whole bunch of clothes out there just to hold the parking spot during the snow. With Justin LeBar, Jonathan Hood with you here on Busted Open as we do this every single day now, Monday through Sunday. Every day we're giving you Busted Open right here on Fight Nation. The men's war games with Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and Randy Orton against Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, JD McDonagh, and Drew McIntyre. And of course, the big storyline, Justin, coming into this is, okay, where's Randy Orton? Is he going to show up? And I like that little mystery because people thought, well, maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's not Randy Orton. But again, you talk about delivering. The men's war game, especially at the end, definitely delivered.
Yeah. I mean, to the point of, you know, you have several, you know, headlines to come out of this match. And you're trying to deliver this and not, you know, let each headline get its due, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Randy Orton coming first of all, let's just talk about Randy for a minute. Cause I do think, and I do think that in the last, 10 hours, Randy Orton's name has not been said as much as it should have, has not been typed as much as it should have. So real quick, because I know we're going to do a lot of talking about somebody else here. Let me just say, Randy Orton's back. He looks phenomenal. I mean, he looked the best he's looked in his entire career. He came out. He looked like he was having fun, crowd reacting. I mean, and there with him, he's in there like a house of fire. And then he turns and looks like he's going to set up Jey Uso for that RKO. Everybody immediately, oh, my God, it's time. Here's that snake. Here's that viper. Mm-hmm. And no. He was just addressing, you know, hey, you're the one that put me on the shelf. I mean, it was spectacular. I am so happy Randy is back because I think, especially on a 3-hour show like Raw, he's needed. And he could add so much as we get ready to go into the hottest time on their calendar for WWE. So fantastic to see Randy Orton back. Glad he's back. I mean, back fusion surgery. You know, I could easily see you get that done. I'm not throwing myself to a mat ever again. You know, first time I think I saw him, his back at the mat is when he delivered his DDT where he dangles the guy off the middle ropes. And I remember I'm watching real quick and he hit it. He bounced right back up. I mean, he was having a blast. So good on Randy Orton that you're back, that you're healthy, and that you can contribute to what is a hot, hot WWE product right now.
You know, Justin, when you think about Randy Orton, you think about how he was booked, where you saw him every week and you said, okay, what's the storyline? What's the story with Randy Orton? But as the old adage is in professional wrestling, how can I miss you if you don't go away? And I just think that for a year plus for him being away, people wondered, is this the end for Randy Orton? Because everything we read was this would be the end for Randy Orton. He's got the back. And you know what happens when they cut on you with a back situation, with a back injury? Usually that means the end. We saw Randy Orton come out there, and man, he looked like he never left. Obviously, he looks a little bit more built, obviously, in the upper body. But just to see him out there again and the ovation he got from the Chicago crowd was just amazing. And of course, as you watch him, you're concerned, okay, is he going to re-injure the back? Or, you know, will he be more stiff? Will he be as fluid as he was before? It's like he never left. That's the thing that impressed me the most, is that he looked the same. And it was so great to see him out there. And I just hope that he's going to be around for quite some time, because he's had a Hall of Fame career. And he's meant so much to a lot of wrestling fans across the country.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, fluid. And that's a big thing with him. He's always, I think that's one of the ways I would describe him, is how smooth he is, you know, in the ring. And you're right, he came back and looked to still be in that form. Yeah, big picture, he's an obviously, you know, for sure Hall of Famer. So you want to, you know, you want the proper closure whenever, and you want the proper closure to be on his term. So to have him just, you know, disappear 18 months ago in a storyline of he's being injured, and that to be actually it, you know, that would have been very unfortunate. And then also on a more immediate level, he was part of one of the hottest things with he and Riddle. So then just to take that away from the audience and get no, he doesn't turn on Riddle. Riddle doesn't turn on him. No payoff. It really just left you're right, an absence makes the heart grow fonder. This absence really did. It was like, all right, we need proper closure. We need Randy Orton to come back on his terms, and we need to have, you know, one more run or however much more he's got left in the tank. So I'm glad to see that we're starting that. And look, he came back, Jonathan. He came back as the fifth man for the babyface side. But obviously, Randy Orton, who knows? You could leave him as a babyface in the crowd, giving him the legend's respect, or if you look at the booking card, if you look at the locker room, heel versus face, and like, ah, we need a credible heel here, you can snap your fingers and Randy Orton could be your most dastardly heel that you need.
Yeah, and he flourishes at both, right? Flourishes at both. Because that is the mark of a Hall of Fame career. It started from the beginning, OVW, into the WWE, and he hasn't looked back. He's just been that great.
Hi, everybody. Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. Familiar? You should be. Well, now you can catch Mad Dog's Daily Bite each day as a podcast, where you'll hear my thoughts and opinions on the biggest topics around the world of sports. NFL, baseball, golf, NBA, even the hockey. That you know you can count on. That's Mad Dog's Daily Bite. Drops daily anywhere you get your podcasts, and you can also hear me weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on Mad Dog Unleashed, Sirius XM Channel 82, or anytime on the SXM app.
At JPMorgan Chase, we see the potential in people like Kelly Twitchell, co-founder of Access Tracks, an innovative product design company making the outdoors more accessible.
When you made something that other people find invaluable, it fuels you to keep making a better impact with your business.
That's why we're here, to help make it happen.
JP Morgan Chase. Real customers compensated. JP Morgan Chase Bank, member FDIC.
So, Justin, here's the Survivor Series. We're watching the men's War Games match, and boy, that was great, and we see the finale of that. And I see the little copyright on the bottom of the screen. Michael Cole signs off, and I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I'm very satisfied. Very satisfied as a wrestling fan watching a very, very good Survivor Series show. So long, everybody. So I'm thinking in the back of my head, let me go over to the college football, see what else is going on. And all of a sudden, you hear that music strike. You know how close I was from clicking off a Peacock? Do you know how close that was to going right back to the college football on Saturday?
Jonathan, I was right there with you. I wrote my last little note because I'm taking notes as I do.
Uh-huh.
And I went, I turned this way and set the pad and pen on the table. I went to shift my weight this way to grab the Roku remote. I was like, all right, let's go watch Collision now. It's just as I put my hand on that remote, and I'm not even looking at the TV. I'm looking at the remote. I hear the ch-ch. I'm like, oh, my God. They got us. They got it. Triple H loves that little trick. I remember the first time I saw him do it was in NXT with Ciampa turning on Gargano. He loves to put the credits up and then up. We got more. I mean, it. You know, and the crowd reaction is there. It was. They got us.
I mean, they certainly did because, okay, you heard smatterings of CM Punk chants. And thank goodness for some of the Chicago fans, they're like, yeah, boo. You know, like, if you start up the CM Punk chants and it gets booed down and then it just disappears. That's what happens in a lot of arenas, especially in Chicago, because, you know, it just happens that way. But then when CM Punk arrived with that white t-shirt, doesn't even have, like, merch, obviously, and it makes no sense. He wears what he wears when I see him on the north side. CM Punk has got a white t-shirt on, as Kevin Nash said, you look like a short order cook. The white shirt, right? And just out there with his outfit and just soaking up the adulation of the crowd. He was right there and people are saying Chicago. And then CM Punk utters the word, like, whose town is this? Whose city is this? It is CM Punk's. It is CM Punk's town. Well, it was just amazing to see him be. And again, you never say never in wrestling, Justin, but just think about this. Let's take a step back. CM Punk getting into it with Tony Khan and the issues he had in AEW, you would think that he'd have enough of this, right? You'd think, oh, I'm done with wrestling. After that whole thing, I was away for a while, came back to AEW, I kept getting injured. I didn't feel like I was the same. And then the politics behind it, either that I caused or they caused, I'm done with this. And he comes back to the WWE after all that bitching on that Colt Cabana podcast for 3 hours talking about how he hated the company, hated the doctors, everything else around it, and yet he has returned. I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, you mentioned the Colt podcast, and obviously I listened to it like the rest of the world, and I had a very, as he was talking about it, especially as he was going down memory lane of the final stretch of his WWE run, that was really in the front of my mind because I was front row for Punk's last WWE match. It was the Royal Rumble here in Pittsburgh in January of 2014. And so Kane, who famously eventually came back in corporate Kane was huddled up against the barricade right in front of me because he came out early and I'm watching the communication between Kane, the ref, and Punk, and Punk's injured. And, you know, he's got all the stuff he talks about. So I, you know, that was, when I relived, I was like, wow, that this guy was very unhappy, you know, very unhappy there, very unhappy with the company. And then, yeah, then you go forward, all the stuff that's been very, you know, publicly documented in AEW because of how it's gone down. Yeah, you think that he's done, you know, but I guess, you know, once a carny, always a carny. If there's money to be made, there's money to be made. And, you know, look, I will go on record. I did not think that CM Punk would be at Survivor Series. You know, I'm sure like you, Jonathan, I've been asked a bunch in the last few months, whenever we knew that he was gone from AEW, whenever we knew that they were going to Chicago for Survivor Series, I was like, no, I don't think it's going to happen. It's always possible. Anything's possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not going to bet on it happening. I always figured eventually Punk will be on a WWE stage, if for nothing else but to get a Hall of Fame award. I figured if Bruno can have a huge falling out with Vince and eventually be brought back home, if they can make a self-destruction DVD of the Ultimate Warrior and Warrior comes back home, if Bret freaking Hart can get embarrassed and screwed on live pay-per-view in his home country and then his brother tragically pass away on the company's time a year and a half later, if he can come back, it's possible for anybody to build the bridge back up. So I always figured he'd be back home eventually. Yeah. I did not think it was going to be on November 25th. 2023.
I did not either, based on everything that he said about WWE. And while he was in AEW, taking shots at WWE. And so that's why I didn't think it would happen. You know, the last time we heard about Punk in the WWE circles is that he was at the Allstate Arena in the parking lot wanting to have a meeting with Triple H. And I don't know what's real or what's not about that, but all I know is that he got as far as Tamina Snuka. That's where CM Punk tried to get there, and he talked to Tamina Snuka, and then he left. There was all this speculation that at Bound for Glory, and I was there in Chicago for that CM Punk was backstage. He was there for the TV tapings, and I thought, CM Punk hard to kill in Las Vegas? Maybe, maybe not. But the question I know that's out there, I know you've read it as well, Justin, is why? That's the number one question, is why? Why, after your time in AEW, where clearly you were pissed off because you didn't think that the young people that were in the back, or the EVPs, whether that's Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks or whatever, you thought that there was a disconnect between you, CM Punk, and them, or Tony Khan and you, and you thought there was a problem. And people say, why? Why would he come back? Well, you know what? Why is Conor McGregor and Jon Jones still synonymous with the UFC? You know, why is Draymond Green still with the Golden State Warriors, or let alone being in the NBA? You know why this is? Is because they make money, because they draw attention, because they're a box office. And same thing with CM Punk. Triple H sees dollars in CM Punk. Knowing how controversial he is, he still sees money in CM Punk. And I just think that when you are a bad boy, or when you have controversy around you, you are a draw. After everything that Conor McGregor is going through in the UFC, I'm not like the biggest MMA guy, but I just know the story as a sports fan. Why would he still be around when he's a lot of trouble? Because he's box office, because our people are interested. I think Triple H feels the same way about CM Punk, feeling like, you know what? Because that guy is a lightning rod of conversation on the internet and everywhere else around the wrestling circles, let's bring him in to the biggest place he could be in the WWE, and we can control him in the WWE. At least they think they can.
I'll give you another answer as to why he's back, and from his perspective. WrestleMania main event. That's the one thing that he's been public about that we know. He's made money. He's worked all these great names. He always wanted to be that main event, that true main event, where you are, everybody is staying for the last match for you at WrestleMania. I think that's something that's still in the wrestling fan in him. He wants to cross off and say that he did in his career. And hey, that is easier than ever to do because there's two nights of Mania. So you can position and build one of the nights around his match, his story. I think that's something, let's not forget about that. That is what is one thing he was vocal about on that Cole podcast. That's something he wanted to do. I mean, you know, he was frustrated when he left WWE after that, the next day after Rumble 2014. Yeah, he was, you know, the creative going into Mania was he was gonna fight Triple H, right? And he was probably gonna lose to Triple. You know, he hated it. You know, it was gonna be somewhere middle of the pack, Mania 3rd. You know, I think that's something that he can accomplish, and he can cross off the list here. I think that's another reason why he is back.
I tell you what, Justin, I just know that in AEW, I think the landscape's different than it is in WWE because of the corporate landscape. Whatever is going through CM Punk's mind, he feels like he could be able to be on top. And again, CM Punk doesn't have to be a guy I need to see every week. I said that in AEW, as a matter of fact. It's like, I need to see him every week. Because he has had injury issues, because he is a guy that is an older athlete, I would just say that whatever you do with CM Punk this time around, just keep him special. Not Undertaker special. I don't mean that. I'm talking about special, like, hey, man, this guy's back. Let's take our time with it. Let's tell a story and put him in a big scenario where everyone will enjoy CM Punk. And I know there's some that are recoiling at this, right? There's some WWE fans I've seen online just like, oh, my God, this guy, he's worth a lot of trouble. Let me just tell you something. With that structure in WWE, if you're trouble, you'll be out, especially under Triple H. He's doing this because he's currying favor with all of us. You've been chanting CM Punk in all these arenas across the country. Okay, we're going to give you CM Punk. How long this lasts, I don't know, but I know it is fascinating, for sure. A guy who said never, like dealing with the doctors and dealing with Triple H and, you know, running down Vince and all this, and then he's back? Oh, my God. This is great for wrestling, for sure.
Maybe they bring Taker back on the road just to police the locker room to preside over wrestler's court if needed. Let's just get ahead of things.
Well, no, that's why R-Truth is back. He's there to police the locker room. That's why he brought R-Truth back, right? He's the new sheriff in town. He'll make sure the locker room is straight.
But for real, think about this. Obviously, it's harder than ever to keep a secret in pro wrestling or anywhere today. Yes. Social media, everybody's got cameras, everybody's recording something. It's hard to keep a secret.
Yeah.
This was obviously very well kept. And so, and then the manner in which they did it, he didn't interact with anybody. No wrestler needs to be clued in. Hey, here's your cue to do this. But like, it is, I don't know, but it's very possible, having seen the way that this was executed and commentary signs off, it is very possible that commentary nor any of the 10 wrestlers that were standing in that ring, it is very possible that none of them knew this was coming. That the refs being told from the back, hey, do the hero pose. We're counting you down. Like, and they're just doing what they do to sign off a show, to send the crowd home happy. And then all of a sudden that music hits. It is very possible, Jonathan, that they all reacted for the first time just like we did, that they had no idea it was coming. It's very possible that none of those people in the ring knew that was happening.
I mean, just the reaction of Seth Rollins alone, and thank goodness for that fan cam, just to be able to videotape that moment of Seth Rollins just looking like he was just going to go up the ramp and go after CM Punk, being held back by Michael Cole and by Corey Graves. I mean, that was something, man. I mean, and of course, they also report about Drew McIntyre from Wrestling Inc., about Drew McIntyre just like storming out of the arena. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's connected to CM Punk or not, but just the reaction and just the way it's told is like very few people knew. Production had to know because they had to hit the button to get the, to get his picture up there and the music to start. And then out of a side door, and I know that building very well, there's very a lot of side doors you can go into and come out of, and then CM Punk just arrives. Man, if the boys did not know, and I say the boys, I'm talking about the wrestlers, I know there's women there too, but if the boys did not know, boy, that's something. But I feel like maybe a few knew. I think a lot of them did not know, and I just think, again, that makes wrestling special. What does that do for the locker room? I don't know, but I know that makes it a very special moment if most of the people didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Seth video, if people haven't seen it's like Jonathan said, he's in front of those two rings, and there's a mix of security, referees, Corey Graves and Michael Cole who are leaving their commentary post, and they're holding him back, and he is screaming, he's middle fingering at CM Punk, and he's it's also very possible too. Seth Rollins is not he's a worker. It's also very possible that in that moment he was able just to connect all the dots and say, all right, people are always recording. Here's my chance to drum up some excitement for an inevitable match that I know that the office is going to want to have. I'm the champion. It's very, very, very possible. So it might just be a great worker going to work. Let me drum up. Let's get going. Why wait till Monday? Let's get going and build the tension and build the talk.
Yeah. If I put my middle finger up, then that means that I'll get the match with them. That's just pretty much me holding my finger up and my hand up saying, I'll work with them at WrestleMania. Let me do it. That's pretty much it. Yeah, right. You know what? And again, we don't know. I just think it's very interesting how that all culminated at one time. Just like the Drew McIntyre piece, though, Justin, is also very interesting. Like, I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's related to CM Punk or not. I have no idea. But that's, boy, this is why week to week you got to watch, because it's just fascinating to me what this all could be.
So the Drew McIntyre. It is crazy. The Drew McIntyre story, this is how it's written on Wrestling Inc. And the original reporting is actually coming from PW Insider. But I'll read this out and we can dissect. It says, according to PW Insider, the former world champion stormed out of the ring and straight backstage after the main event before slamming his locker room door and immediately leaving the Allstate Arena in a hoodie. I like that detail. He's in a hoodie. the report indicated that McIntyre's frustration was loud and obvious, leading to plenty of conversation after the incident, but there's no clear reason as to why he reacted in such a manner, and his departure from the ring occurred prior to Punk's grand entrance. So we don't know if there was something in the match that he was unhappy about. Maybe somebody did know Punk was coming and they clued him in. Hey, this can rehap. I mean, so we don't know, but that's what PW Insider, take it for whatever it's worth. That's what PW Insider is reporting, is he stormed out, left, and in a hoodie.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
En Toyota nos preguntamos, ¿qué prefieres estas fiestas?
¿Árbol dorado?
¿Rojo y verde? ¿Cenamos pavo?
Tamales. ¿Regalos a medianoche?
Mejor a la mañana.
Ok. ¿Y para el auto nuevo? Pensaba en un Corona negro y con asientos deportivos.
Todos prefieren un Toyota. Ven por tu favorito al Toyota Ton. Las ofertas terminan el 5 de diciembre. Toyota, vayamos juntos. Las ofertas están sujetas a cambios a lo largo de Toyota Ton que termina el 2 de enero. Las ofertas actuales terminan el 5 de diciembre. El inventario puede variar. Visita tu concesionario Toyota participante.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.